Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you notice the question that nobody asked? In today's gospel reading, some Pharisees try to trap Jesus with a question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? If they wanted to trap Jesus, that question seemed like the perfect question. It all started 100 years earlier, in 63 BC, when the Empire of Rome took over Jerusalem and all the land of Israel. From that point forward, the Jews had to pay taxes to the faraway ruler of Rome, Caesar. And as you can imagine, those taxes annoyed and even angered a lot of people. On the one hand, there stood those Pharisees who had a deep religious commitment. They wanted to see Israel a free land again, ruled directly by God, filled with a faithful people, and only a faithful people. They could not even imagine that somebody who believed in God would actually want to pay taxes to that Caesar. That pagan, unbelieving Caesar with his pagan, unbelieving money. Such a person surely was a sinner. But then, on the other hand, there stood all those who supported Rome, like King Herod. King Herod was a friend of Caesar's. Caesar had made Herod king of Israel, portions of Israel. And therefore, Herod wanted to see those taxes paid. If the taxes are paid, Caesar is happy. If Caesar is happy, Herod stays king. And so Herod and his followers, called the Herodians, would have viewed anyone who didn't want the taxes paid as criminals and a problem. So Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? If Jesus says yes, then the Pharisees can denounce him as a sinner. If Jesus says no, the Herodians can call him a criminal. He's between a rock and a hard place. Either way, he loses. But did you notice the question that nobody asked? Jesus noticed. It's why he came in the first place. Jesus came down from heaven and became man because there was a question that nobody was asking. It's the same question that drove him to the cross and that put him in the grave. It's the question that he answered when he rose from the dead. It's the question that he sends his church still today to ask all through the world and to answer. And do you know what that question is? It's very simple. The question is, what does God want? There's what Caesar wants. There's what the Pharisees want. There's what Herod wants. What does God want? You see, when nobody asks that question, then people might start to think that they're off the hook. If we can just keep God up in heaven where he belongs, if we can just keep God ill-defined and generalized, if we can just keep God a mystery, well, then we can have earth to ourselves, and we can start calling the shots on earth. Then we can start saying what's right and wrong to suit our own opinions. Then we can start discerning between life and death in a way that affirms what we already know and what we already believe. If we can just keep God up in heaven and mysterious and ill-defined, well, then we can even start dividing the world up between those who support us and those who don't. We can start cracking heads. We can start shedding blood. All that happens in a world that does not ask the question, what does God want? Does it sound familiar? But what happens if God insists on asking the question? What happens if God says, I'm not going to let you forget about me. I will not be sidelined. What happens if God comes to take back what belongs to him? What happens if the question becomes flesh and walks among us and answers the question in a way that we still feel that answer today? That's what happened in Jesus Christ. Jesus became flesh, and God finally got what he wanted. He got this one piece of creation that was exactly the way he wanted it. He got a human being who was perfectly obedient, perfectly sinless, perfectly forgiving and kind and merciful. A man who not only knew right from wrong, but who did the right in a way that healed the wrong. A man who not only knew the difference between life and death, but who lived in such a way that even his death brought life. Clearly, this Jesus is much greater than a thing like paying taxes. When people gave money back to Caesar, all Caesar got was the gold he had given out, now stamped with his picture on it. But in Jesus, in his flesh and blood, God got creation the way he always wanted creation to be. He got his creation healed, purified, raised from the dead, and made completely new. And since that is true, you can now marvel that this speck of creation, this man who is everything that God wants, has been given and shed for you. The one who belongs to God actually promises that he also belongs to you. So now that question, what does God want from you? That question is answered. He doesn't want anything from you anymore. He has received that in Jesus, and Jesus is now yours. And so what God wants from you is for you to have Jesus, for you to receive him, to trust him, to give thanks for him. Jesus brings you to God, wrapped up in his name, washed in his blood, poked full of his body. Jesus wraps you in himself. And that's what God wants, so that you may be with him forever. Marvel at that. Marvel that this man finds his way to your lips and fills your souls. And then, filled with that marveling, that wonder at the grace of God, step back into the world that is so worried about taxes and government and who has power and who does not. That world where everyone wants to be a little God and where the temptation always exists for you and me to feel that way too. Step into that world and remember these three things. First, since God already has what he wants in Jesus, God is satisfied, and nothing has to be so deadly serious anymore. And no one has to be lost in Jesus. He may be shared. You may live and breathe in the favor of God. In Jesus, number two, you have received a freedom that no tyrant can take away from you, and that no democracy can guarantee you. That freedom that you have in Christ comes from a higher authority. It is the freedom to be children of God, trusting in His mercy alone and living by that mercy. And number three, if you ever find yourselves being consumed by questions that Jesus does not answer, it's time to ask different questions. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.